Hello, people. I'm a little bit tired this morning. Trump is exhausting. And the people that support Trump are exhausting, I have to say. I hear a lot of stuff about immigration, how horrible immigration is, how expensive it is for the United States, all this illegal immigration that's going on. And I just, here in California, I just, not sure I totally see evidence of it. I mean, emergency room, yeah. A lot of immigrants from the South, and I understand how that looks, but the facts are that, you know, many of them are paying on fake social security numbers and they're never going to get those taxes back. So I'm not sure that they're costing the United States money overall when you do the entire calculation, especially when you think about the fact that we have plenty of technology. We know we have the technology. We're not stupid, right? That border on the South could be closed anytime we want it to be closed. So there's a reason why it's not closed. Somebody's making money off of that. And it's not me, it's not you, and it's not the people fleeing poverty, because that's what they are doing when they're coming from Mexico. They are fleeing poverty and violence. So if you go there, you will see what I'm talking about, and you will understand that if you were there, you would try and get to the land of opportunity compared to what, you know, the borderlands are like sometimes. When you look at some of those towns, they are truly living in tar paper shacks. Some people, I mean, of course they're trying to escape that poverty. Or there's just towns in the middle of nowhere, little villages where it's just subsistence. You can get by, but you are never going to get ahead. So coming to the United States is really the only opportunity that these people have. And, you know, it's not some liberal, bleeding heart BS that makes me think that allowing Mexicans to come to the United States and work is probably to our benefit. And I think that, a bracero program is not what I'm talking about. And in fact, I think that allowing them to have a fast track to citizenship in this country, if they're Mexicans, because ultimately, the fact of the matter is that immigration in the United States is about Mexico and everyone else, when you're having a debate with, you know, most people. So I think Mexico deserves to be treated differently than other countries. And, I mean, they are our neighbor. And in the 19th century, we got in a war with them, and we took a huge part of that country as part of the reparation, as part of that war. And the legitimacy of that war, and whether or not we had foreknowledge of all the gold that happened to be in California that was found, you know, less than 10 years later. I mean, from the Mexican point of view, those are debatable points. So, given that history, I think that we as a country want to have good relations with our neighbor and maybe want to say we're sorry a little bit about what happened there and at least recognize that the fortuitous circumstance that one country got out of that conflict. California is a huge economic engine, but the amount of gold that came out of California was not small. I mean, some historians say it's the reason why the Union, you know, beat the South during the Civil War, because there was just so much gold coming out of California. In any case, that history exists. There's that kind of immigration that it's going to enrich this country, honestly, right? The fact of the matter is that you don't get a diamond from a lump of coal unless you put it under pressure. And there is a lot of pressure there in those border towns. And there's a lot of poverty, and there's a lot of violence. It's a lot of pressure. And there are kids being born into that. And there are parents who want their more for their kids. And if those families come here, the pressure that they are under, the pressure that children, those children are born under, it produces diamonds. That's how you get diamonds. Once upon a time, there was enough of that kind of immigration coming into this United States to feed the greatest generation that defeats World War II, the Nazis in World War II. The United States has been based on immigration as well as based upon strife. As every time it happens, we seem to have problems at first integrating. But ultimately, in retrospect, we have to always look back and say, we were really helped by that, you know, flow of new blood, new ideas, new energy, and all those diamonds that come from essentially economic refugees, you know, under so much pressure. They are very, very motivated to work hard and to add to their own personal wealth, as well as the wealth of the community that they're living in. We should be welcoming them. Those border towns, potentially, are breeding the next Einstein, the next Jonas Salk, the fields that breed those kind of people. The diamonds. We're rejecting diamonds when we are saying we don't want Mexicans in our country. We really are. So as I said, Mexico, I think we should fast track some kind of citizenship for them if they want it, because we want them. Okay? We want them. Now, the fact is, as I said before, it's Mexico and everyone else. So what do I think about everyone else? Well, I mean, everyone else, I think the quota system has some merit. You know, you gotta filter the flow somehow. This can't be completely open borders. And when we have such a porous border in our south that's uncontrolled, for whatever reason it's uncontrolled, right? Somebody's making money off of that. So in any case, you have this uncontrolled border. It is a terrorist entry point. I get that. But all this fear about the Syrians coming in here, these people were the old men, old women, children. That's what Syrian refugees are, really. And we have a hand in making a disaster there. Not because we didn't go in and start bombing more, because we did bomb quite a bit, I think. But because we just destabilized that whole area when we went in on this stupid weapons of mass destruction chase through Baghdad and the rest of the Middle East. We destabilized that whole area. Dictators, one of the good things about dictators is they do breed some stability. In any case, our fear of Syrian refugees, based on what we're seeing in Europe, is not a correct analysis. Okay, Europe, they have historical connections to Africa and the Mideast, and you can walk basically from Aleppo to Berlin to Paris. You can walk. We can't walk, but a Syrian can walk. So we have to understand the geography over there as well. If you want to think about terrorism coming in through visas and immigration, then you can talk about something like the H-1B visa program, where you have allegedly highly trained, highly skilled individuals that the United States just needs, we can't compete, being brought in. When in fact, it's really a matter of, you know, labor arbitrage, where corporations want to bring in knowledge workers, skilled workers, yes, but they want to pay them less than they would pay Americans. And that is a source of, you know, about 100,000 immigrants every year. They get a visa that lasts 3-5 years. And they're able to bring in family members who are also able to work. Now, these people work on critical infrastructure, and often go offshore and start an outsourcing company that corporate entities can outsource work to after they've come here and been steeped in the corporate culture, the way Americans do business, yada yada. That's all good. I get that. But that is the source, I think, of true national security threats, where you bring in essentially foreign citizens to work on your critical infrastructure for no other reason than to save money and to push down the wages of middle-class Americans. That's really what H-1B visas are about, and that's why they are not closely monitored. So when you talk about Brexit and why a nation might want to pull out of some kind of open border deal, these kind of things like labor arbitrage are things to discuss instead of demonizing people who might want to stop the flow of cheap labor being brought in, not on any kind of path to citizenship, but only brought in to compete with the domestic labor force at a lower wage. I mean, H-1B visa, you can only stay in, or he or she can only stay in the United States as long as they got a job, and then otherwise they're deported. So if the boss says you got to work 60 hours a week for 65% of what an American makes, you do it because you don't want to be deported. You're here for 3 to 5 years. You have a chance at some kind of citizenship, maybe, or a permanent work visa. I get their motivations as well. But we, as a country, need to look at what our leaders do in their decision-making process and what are they weighing to decide what to do. And when you look at this immigration thing, a travel ban, not that effective, because one, if you're trying to stop source countries of terrorists, known terrorists of the 9/11 brand, well, that's Saudi Arabia. So why is Saudi Arabia not being part of that ban, as well as some other, Arab countries that, have close ties with the United States, close ties with the oil infrastructure of the United States, that's for sure, which means you have close ties with American politicians. So when we think about immigration, we have to recognize, one, that a good deal of this country has been built by immigrants, and two, there's a reason why that border is open. Someone's making money. Somebody's making money. It's not you or I or the poor people that are fleeing poverty. They are not making the money. Somebody's making a lot of money. And there's some labor arbitrage going on there too as well, I think. I think Mexico, as our neighbor, as a country that I might remind everyone that stood by us during World War I. So they were pretty loyal during the World War I with the Zimmerman Note, where the Germans tried to lure them into supporting or even invading the United States and on the German side against the Allies, and they would get California and New Mexico, Arizona back. And the Mexicans told them, no. The Mexicans were loyal to us when a foreign power tried to get them to invade us. Despite the fact that the Mexican-American War happened, they lost California in circumstances that aren't necessarily that pleasant to consider. So Mexicans really, they have good reason to really dislike Americans and dislike the U.S., but really they're our neighbors and they don't seem to dislike us. And I'd like to see that continue. And I think we're stronger when we're friends with our neighbors. And ultimately, as a nation, we are going to be stronger by letting poor Mexicans come to this country and work, honestly, and become citizens even. If a Mexican can pass an English test and wants to be an American citizen, why would I say no? Only reason that your traditional opponent of immigration from the South has is the loss of Northern European culture, as it were, the Anglophones, English as the number one language, English as the official language of the U.S. Okay, I get that. So then, if they can pass an English test, that means they're pretty darn smart. They're motivated, they want to come to this country. why would I not want that person to be a citizen? I'm telling you, I worked with undocumented people who were fleeing war and civil war in the South during the 80s, and hard working people, working two and three jobs for their children. And that is something that many, many opponents of amnesty or a more open border, a more open policy with Mexico, they forget about the demographics of what it means. Mexicans have a lot of kids. Social Security will go bankrupt. That wall gets built. That's what I think. So a lot of Mexicans paying into Social Security who are never going to see it. They're paying on someone else's Social Security number, a fake one, whatever. That person's never going to collect. Social Security is being buoyed right now by a lot of uncollected or untapped benefits with inflow of revenue from people that are never going to get those benefits. Americans need to think about that. Demographically, we actually need Mexicans to pay for the baby boomers in Social Security. Mexicans are vital to a balanced budget. They honestly, they are. Let's just be flat out honest about it. I'm telling you that America will be better through this immigration from the South. I've never really seen a more ingenious people than Mexicans. When I'm looking to save money or looking to somehow make it through the system, I consult with Mexicans because they are ingenious people. Imagine having to flee your home country and learn another language and work low-paying jobs to make it. It's not easy. We as a nation will be buoyed by these people coming in. Is what America's about. Really is. We can't turn our backs on our neighbors. We cannot. Immigration is Mexico and everyone else. The true threats are not from poverty-stricken people in Mexico or in Aleppo, where they're being killed by the score in a civil war. Of course they're fleeing. Are they terrorists there? Well, Assad says they're terrorists. I really believe everything Assad tells me. The fact of the matter is the current situation in the southern border, yes, is untenable. I agree. That porous border, undocumented people coming through, that's where terrorists can come through. H-1B visas, this stems visa influx of lightly vetted people. All we care about is whether or not they got the skills and they'll work for the wage we want them to work for. That's not a good way to vet people. Especially when they're going to work on your infrastructure. And sometimes I wonder if the reason why people are being brought in is not just because of, you know, labor arbitrage, but also because they do what they're told. The whistleblower who uncovers and reveals to the world what's going on in San Francisco in the early part of the 21st century, where essentially all data communications, everything's going through computer systems that are in a secret room on the west coast of San Francisco. Well, that was probably an American citizen who thought, hey, this is unconstitutional and I must speak out. So the real threat from immigration is, in my opinion, this high-tech, super skilled influx of lightly vetted people working on critical infrastructure projects. That's where the threat is. Not from grandmas and grandpas and little kids fleeing bombs in Aleppo. No. Or poor people fleeing poverty from the southern border. That is not a threat to the United States in the way that allowing foreign citizens to work in critical infrastructure. Don't train your own populace. If H-1B visas worked, we've had them for 20, 25 years, we wouldn't continue to need them. We're neglecting our own populace. At some point, we've got to bite the bullet and train our own people. Mexicans can learn another language. I bet you they can learn some serious stuff related to STEM as well. They're motivated, I'm telling you. Poverty motivates people. I know it. I was poor when I was young. Poverty motivates people, and it's remembered when you help. Let's help our neighbors. This is the home of the brave. This is not the hovel of the fearful. The home of the brave embraces its neighbor. The home of the brave is a place where people fleeing civil war, old women, old men and children, home of the brave is their shelter. The hovel of the fearful turns them away.